Okay, this is Bob and Ion for Dobstown.com. We're recording on January 8th, 2016, starting at 1:06 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Hello.
A couple of days ago, or maybe even a week ago, Roxy wanted to know about the symbol, the number 8 in the Chambord Castle. An 8 was showing all over the place. And the answer Ion gave was, that you gave was in the email. So I don't know which email, which song, whatever it was you sent. Back then I didn't look at it right then. There was a lot of other emails. So I'm asking the question again. Roxy says, the symbol, the king was the only one allowed to see it. Now, I remember talking to Ion about that. But anyways, the symbol was the only one the king could see. It is, this 8 is 32 times in the Castle Chambord. And now, she watched the Matrix, the movie series, The Matrix, the other day. And it was similar to the portion of the movie which had the Merovingian. And in the Merovingian, it had an eight in a cross with three levels or three bars. In the movie, one has to ask the French to bring things from other worlds. That's in the Matrix movie. One needs eight, then she says, one needs 8 perfect cells to decode the hologram, like an ascendant one. In Chambord, Castle Chambord, the 8 is everywhere. So she was wondering if you you have more explanation about the 8, or are you going to tell me the YouTube again, the lyrics or something? All right, did you follow that? Was that too many words?
No, it is. It's fine, but your 8 is different. See, you've got it sideways. You can go back to the Ison Lee Voices Calling Me, which is the same octet that you're trying to describe, but that's not what you're really asking for. What you're asking for is in Chambord what the 8 is. And we're going to take you back where we were trying to be a specific way. But do you remember the wire whisk, the egg beaters, Bob, back in the earliest days?
Yes.
It's not an 8. It's 2 egg beaters.
Ah. That's what they're showing in the castle.
Yes. It's not.
All right.
It's not 8.
I get that. And is the, in the Matrix, they're showing an 8. Is they got the wire whisk in mind, or is...
there is no 8 in the Matrix.
No. Some design in the Merovingian section...
yes, it's the wire whisk.
So it's the same meaning. So the Wachowski brothers understood that symbol,
and they did.
Okay. So does that refer to the octet?
Not the way you know it.
Right. Yeah. I think
You remember when the cosmic awareness tried to make and change and undo everything as they were doing it?
Yes.
That same way.
Okay, that means, what's the same way? The octet, the way we are, we're going to undo the octet.
You
like
see it as 8. You see it as 8. The cosmic awareness didn't see it as 8. They saw it as a symbol of holding a placeholder. Recall?
Yes. Did you say shingle, like a roof shingle?
Or a shingle? A symbol. Symbol.
Oh, a symbol. Symbol, yes. They saw it, Cosmware saw it as a symbol, and we're seeing it
as a number.
And we're seeing it as a number. And it is not a number, it refers to the wire whisk.
A symbol.
And so Cosmic Awareness is on the right track about it?
No, but that's the only example you know that we can say. This is the example you know.
Right, okay.
But see, Evergreens did a bunch of stuff on it, too, but you didn't get that.
Right.
Or I guess Michael Blake Reed did it a bunch of different ways, trying to get you there. And then you can go all the way into the Joycean side of it. But that's not what you're trying to ask. You're asking specifically about this symbol. And the symbol, which is what we told you, was not in a YouTube or an email. We said it was on your wall.
Oh, okay, yes. So
symbols on your wall. But you don't want that. You don't want that on your recording, because now everybody will be trying to overrun you, trying to get the secrets off your wall, Bob.
I know. So, excuse me.
Isn't it great to be so special, Bob?
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful feeling.
A charmed experience, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. So I don't give it too much attention. Others might think I do, but I don't. Because I don't like sticking on the one thought and staying with one thought. I have too many thoughts.
It's fleeting. When all those thoughts are fleeting. So you're wise.
Yes. So, okay. So, what did the, Leonardo da Vinci put the 8 in, or someone else put the 8 in Chambord?
It was not da Vinci.
Right. And what did they have in mind? The wire whisk? They knew what they...
No.
They were
No. They knew. It's a bit of mysticism. They would include things that they didn't know. It was kind of like spookers in the woods and blah, blah, blah. They didn't know better, Bob. They just went with knowing things that were things. So
right.
That's how that works. Recall, they had to do this to keep the talisman off so that the Black Death wouldn't come to their house, which was nothing other than a ridiculous infection.
Yes. And the black what? The Black Death, did you say?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so then...
So they included the 8 to ward off that terribleness, which is not really that's what it was, but it did serve a function as meaning a symbol that replaced to tell you something. So if for no other reason for now, so she could notice and find it from then... Which they didn't know what it was because you said what it was then, and they didn't believe you.
Right, and they kept, and then they had to make it special by just allowing the king to be the only one to see it.
Or you.
Or did you say or me or for me?
Or you.
O R or Bob. Right.
You saw it. Yes, you saw it.
Did I see it back then?
You surely did.
Okay. Is that the life of
Ophanel Hobab? No. This is Ophanel Hobab. No, that's you.
It was me. Me.
Now. Yes. Bob. Yes.
Not
you now.
Okay.
Now you're gonna have to ease up. It is now. It's you now. This is what I was trying to say. You figured out how to do this and now you're doing it. Now you're asking us how you're doing it. Well, you're just doing it, Bob. It's just doing it. Just do it. That's what Nike told you, Bob. Nike told you. That's what Nike said. Bob, Nike said it. Nike said, just do it. So just do it, Bob. Just do it.
Who's Nike, the sneakers head.
Tennis shoe people, yeah. Just do it, Bob. Just do it. They did that for you, too.
All right, thank you. So, so we did the 5 rings angel diagram. Now, we did that. All right, so then we go, if tactility is the interplay of the senses and coordinates the mutation, there's something about tactility, not sensory tactility, there's something about what tactility refers to in here, in the action of the wind. Ein goes, the tactility of the holding back and the air that blows is spelled air, H-E-I-R. That's why it's a transmutation, because it's being held in abeyance. It's actually being withheld. Yeah. And then... I go, the winds illustrate what the chromosome does. Ion says, exactly. Ion says, a transmutation. Then I say, and the chromosome is a medium for that. Ion says, it is what gets mutated with the rings and the arms. So then our question,
Generationally. That's why they went all the Samuels. That's through Kings and Chronicles, and all of Samuel goes through the begets. This one begat that one, begat that one, begat that one. So you can have a chromosomal diagram or a plotting or tracking. You talk about DNA sequencing. It's generationally. So the heirs that you're talking about in a chromosomal application. Oh, wait. We're sorry. Ask your question, Bob. We've answered it. But now you get to ask your question. We're sorry. Proceed.
Okay, yeah, it seemed that, well, you weren't. So Ayn goes, it is what gets mutated with the rings and the arms. Then I go, how do the winds illustrate what the chromosome does? Is it their movement? That's what you're saying. It's the generation.
Generationally. Generationally. Yes. And that lays that out. Now, then what happens is it's in the myocardial, once it connects at that cell level, what you've got to do then is you've got to now apply it somewhere. Just like if you're going to stop a cancer cell, you're not very good at it. Cancer seems to rage. We say make everything cancer and you'd live forever. That's great. Otherwise, but when they connect the dot of a cancer cell to a regular cell, you can't stop that cancer cell from reaffecting the next cell to it. It's the perfect cell. Well, you all are busy dying from it when you should learn that that is indeed the perfect cell. The answer to cancer is get it.
And once
you get out of your little man state and connect the rest of those dots, that then becomes the perfect thing. So that's why they try to fight cancer with ozone and oxygen sometimes, which is silly and ridiculous, because that's the oxidizer that basically gives it a fuel for the fire for it to burn. But we're not trying to argue this because we've got the mapping that does in the formulas for the cellate and those things. We have all that together, and we'll give it to Dr. Dean because we already adore her, and she's doing wonderfully and fine. So the point of that is those will be continuous little dots that will be bumped, and they're all about the sugar, 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 sugar. It's all about the sugar. Spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. The sugar is how this all applies. Because that's watch what society says. Everything they're doing, everything they're pushing against, that's the thing to go to. If they're saying don't have this, have that. If they're saying don't do this, do that. If they're saying this is it, do the other way. Because they're trying to kill you, Bob, from a little man's standpoint.
Right. And so what you just said, the last 3 minutes, cannot be broadcast? The sugar
transfer? Ask Dr. Dean.
Okay. All right. Now, so what you just described, the changing of the cancer cell, the growth of it, that is the shown in the genealogy in Kings and Samuel?
Yes.
That's what you're describing.
Yes. And see, and that's the thing that we're trying to say. Everybody's trying to have a war against this, a fight it. But if you'd embrace it, you'd be eternal.
Right. Okay. I asked, how do the winds illustrate what the chromosome does? Is it their movement? And then I go, tonality. Is it their tonality? The winds represent tonality changes.
Well, we'd say frequency more than tonal, but then tonality is a frequency. But there's a fine line between it. You have to be very careful because can you have a frequency that's without a sound? Yes, you can. So if something is tonal, does it have a frequency? Yes, it does. So then could you have a tonal frequency that doesn't have a sound? And we'd say, no, you can't. So now there's the rub. So you have to be very careful how you lay that out because what's going to happen is there's parts that go ahead of itself. Parts that go ahead of itself. You have shows where you do things ahead of the show, correct?
Yes.
When you do that, sometimes you change the whole outcome of everything. And if you do that, you got to know what you're doing because that's your split. You can keep up with the line, the distance between lines and space is perfect, but you don't have a fabulous track record of being good at that so far.
Is that me, you mean, or the group of us?
Just you,
me, Bob.
Just you. The group, the group follows you, Bob. You're not going to let it get one step ahead of you. Don't worry about that.
So you're talking about things I do before the show?
Things you do. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So the winds, the releasing of the winds is a metaphor for the moving through the generations of Kings and Samuels and in Genesis.
They're all in it, yes. That's the seeds that blows the seeds that have to die. See, and once you figure out exactly how to make the white stone, it's going to be so great because then you'll have a real working example of how to see it. You'll find the example, and that's what makes that easier.
All right. So, the next question is, Ian responds, I ask about the movement in the totality, and Ian responds, that ring that's protecting the outer angle that's closest to the intercross, that would be ring 14 and 1, is the rings, arms, and rings of chromosome 14.
Right.
All right, so that's the explaining the interlooping of ring 1 and ring 14.
And it causes, that's where the winds are held, is in between those, when you put it in motion. That's where the winds are held in abeyance, is there.
Right, right. Because that's ring 1. Yeah, that's ring 1 and 14. So then the question
when they
comes
move,
from that.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Then we go, does chromosome 14 protect ring 13?
No.
Okay. Is chromosome 14 the black ring, which is the 14th ring angle? Or is it ring 13?
No,
which one is the black one?
It's the angle. Remember, you have the valence in between and out. That's the distance on the black ring. It's the valence and the balance that connects. Covalence
and that's
balance.
Part of, is that an interplay between ring 13 and ring 14, or is
the
all
space
ring 14?
Between it. The space between it is that black ring.
The space between ring 13 and ring 14?
Yes.
Right. So what is ring 13? I don't remember, I could look it up, but ring 13 is not valence or balance.
No, that's right. It's neither of those. It's all within and without ring 14, not 13, Bob.
Beg your pardon?
It has nothing to do with ring 13. Covalent and valence and valence has nothing to do with ring 13. It's 14. It's based on 14.
Right. And that interfaces with ring 1. So I'll bring up Sasha's notes. That's what I was saying. Sasha, just what she wrote for ring 13.
Well, while you're working on that, take a time of refreshment, and we'll be back in just a moment.
So I just wait?
No. Well, we'll come back to you.
We were just doing, I looked up ring 13.
Yeah.
And ring 13 says, according to Sasha's notes, ionosphere, where it all is in much ongoing attraction.
Yeah, well, okay, that's a little choppy. It's a little choppy, but it's okay.
Then it says thin white line, but we don't see the thin white line. We just see the black line, which is 14.
The space between, that's the covalent. It's see, the thin line is why the 13 is separate than the 14.
Right. We were describing the valence and covalence, the valences, is ring 14, and that's black. Now, you see ring 12 as well as touchy. You don't see ring 13, but you have to imagine there's a thin white line in
that's
there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And it says 40 sets times 12 sets of variables, 3,600 equals 144,000 double helixes, all attached to one chromosome 14. So what's going on in ring 13 that's different from ring 14?
It's the isolator. It's what's isolating. This won't make any sense, Bob, until you get it moving. You say you have somebody working on it. You say you have it put together. You say they have 8 different rings and they're trying to put them in motion. When you get something close to that, that will be the answer to your question when you do. But until then, I can tell you, which we already have, already, but it won't really apply until you can place it somewhere.
Okay, so back then with Sasha, the ionosphere, she's saying ring 13, but we found out that all the empty spaces are the ionosphere in the diagram.
Yes.
So the ionosphere is
that's
everywhere.
Right. Well,
now
between those spaces.
Yeah, all those blank spaces is where the is that where the ions are? When you say ionosphere?
No. That's not.
All right. What would be the content of the ionosphere then?
We didn't say.
It could be the I cell.
We don't want to make it glib because you know it could be, but that's not the way that you want to go with this. You're trying to get somewhere, so keep going.
Right. So what you're saying right now is you can't tell us much about Ring 13. And you just explained that a minute
ago. Well, we can, but we're not going to, because we could tell you what a coffee table is, but until you can place the coffee table in your front room, you don't need to know what the coffee table is, because it'll just confuse
right.
you. Because you're like, why in the world would we be told all about this and all about that when it doesn't have anything to do with this or that? And how we come ramping up in here. Every time we turn around, we're trying to find out something, little something, something. Just trying to do a little something, something. We can't find out nothing. Everything we find, then it turns out to be changed. Can't have that and can't have this. Can't work out with this. Can't get out of that. Then you get a coffee table. And try to get a coffee table, you ain't got no place to put your feet. You put your feet on the coffee table. That's what it's for, describing what it is, how to go. Then you realize you don't even have a Davenport to set your ass on to put your feet up on the coffee table. So it's lost. So Ring 13 is the coffee table.
Right. The image of the coffee table, many TV shows, many movies lately, somebody is thrown down in the living room and their head hits the corner of the coffee table and they die. That seems appropriate here.
That is
They're
correct.
Always getting killed by the edge of the coffee
right.
table.
They're the edge of those voracious coffee tables. Yes.
Right.
They're almost as bad as TV. They're almost as bad as TV trays.
Ah, good. That's right. So, back to the Ring 1. Okay, so Ring 13 has to be developed. We're still developing Ring 13.
It will. And you're better off than you think, but we don't want to confuse you because you're doing really good. And if we confuse you, you have to start all over, and you despise that. Unlike Dr. Dean, you're not a doctor, and you don't have as much patience.
Right. So the Ring 12 was the sine wave action. That's all the triangulation. And
yep.
Can we say that's closer to visual space, or the frequencies are nothing to do with visual space?
It would be. No, it's visual. It's not visual space. It's visual bias.
So Ring 12 is visual bias.
It's visual bias, not visual space.
Right. Now, Ring 10 with the 49 boxes, is that visual bias or visual space?
It's
Ring
what 10? You'd use. It's 10 is what you'd use for visual bias.
Right, the printing press.
Now stop. It's not the printing press, Bob. It's the ink.
Oh, okay.
The ink is the problem, not the printing press. Ink is the trouble.
And why is that? How would ink be a problem?
Printing press without ink won't make any wordy words.
Right. So you got to have the ink. All right. Okay. So
it's like the problem isn't guns, it's bullets.
Yes, I got that. So then, back to Ring 1, we're talking about the four winds, which are chemical gases, neon, argon, krypton, and xenon, the noble gases. Is there something new about those gases? Is that the chemical transformations that goes through the generations? Does it involve those four noble gases?
The AL2, SO4, and then you run through
right.
all of it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the AL2, that long formula that Sheila painted, is the result of the release of the winds. That's the generations end up there.
Better. There might be a better way to say that, but we don't know it. So you win. Go with it like that. So we let changes.
Well, there could be changes to that formula later, as the ascension is more obvious. Yeah.
Well, as you find something to connect it to, because see, now you're starting to connect it. Do you realize, look at your questions. Your questions, finally, after 78 millennia, this is what you were arguing before about the Zion architect problem, the same thing we're having here. See, we've tried to get you to do this 99,000 times. We told you 99,000 ways, and now you're right back. You're actually maybe getting close this time, so good. See what's wrong with that conversation? That's what's wrong with the architect and Neo's revenge.
Right. And you're saying this time, you mean during the last 6 years, not the last 2,000 years. You're talking about this engagement with Ion.
We don't time. You've
all
been
right.
talking to us from a lot more than 2,000 years, if you're going to count it that way.
But everybody does that. Everybody talks to non-physical, correct?
Oh.
All right. They don't. All right. So you mean Ophanel has been talking to his...
There are those that non-physical will not speak to.
What did they do to be cut off?
It's not cut off, they just don't engage. You don't see the separation. You can separate yourself from God. You separate yourself from God. And that's really what you say is the only hell. That would be the only hell, is to be separated from God, and you have to do that.
Oh, okay.
That's what they talk about when they talk about blasphemy and being blasphemous, and you know that thing your mother said you were going to hell for.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We get on to that because...
Because you're the only hell your mama ever raised.
Oh, yeah. The Ophanel. So Ophanel's been talking to his non-physical being, working with his non-physical for millennia.
Dude.
Yeah. Now, at the Chambord Castle, Roxy has noticed that there's this symbol in the Matrix, I don't know which one, tied up with the Merovingian. And the symbol in the actual Chambord Castle, this is a symbol only the king, King Frank, was allowed to see. He was the only one allowed to see this. And it's 32 times in Chambord. Similar to the Merovingian symbol in the Matrix, it's like an 8 in a cross with 3 levels. In the movie, one has to ask the French people to bring things from other worlds. One needs 8 perfect cells to decode the hologram, like an ascended one. In Chambord, the 8 is everywhere, which is the octet. What is the symbol, the meaning of the symbol 8 with these other lines over it in the Chambord Castle that only the king can see? What's the importance of that?
It's a Playfair cipher.
For the whole system of 12 castles?
Yes. Well, the legend,
right.
So you can find your way.
Right, so you have to figure out what the Playfair cipher is, just like we do in Finnegan's Wake.
Right. Right, but just like you were able to do that already.
Yeah.
You've not been having any trouble with it. It takes you seconds.
Right, so it isn't referring to the number 8 and the magic of 8 or the Mobius strip visuality of 8. It is just a cipher, which means it's a code, a meaningless code.
It's not meaningless, but it's a code. It's not meaningless, but it's a code.
Well, what I meant by meaningless is 1132 in Finnegan's Wake. Joyce said he put in there just to hold things together. He can refer to anything. That's not a cipher. Not a cipher.
That's just gibberish, but that's what we have. That's what's wrong with that bastard anyway. He's an idiot.
Why was only the king allowed to see it?
That's the way it is even now, Bob.
Well, the king, he deserved it, or he is the only one who could understand it?
None of those. It was his to do.
Okay, did King Francis I do it?
Yes.
He did figure it out.
He did.
All right.
That's how you're able to talk about it now.
Right. And then he did it, and that led to the design for the other 12 castles, the other 11 castles?
No. Those all happened. Those had all happened. This is the legend that worked out the details of that detail. Does that make sense?
So the castles, they'd already worked it. The cipher is embedded in all 12 castles.
Yeah.
And it's in Chambord Castle to indicate that there is a cipher. So they had figured it out before. So,
well, they hadn't figured it out, but they put the cipher so they could connect them together. So they could be connected.
Was Leonardo da Vinci involved with that?
Yes.
Who was the person, if they had a name, who was leading this, that was educating Leonardo or King Francis?
Oh, you'll have to call on the resting soul of Galileo, King of Night Vision, King of Insight.
Right. And Galileo, he lives later than this, according to the Wikipedia.
We're sorry.
Right. Are you saying that Galileo was around? He's one of these
humans
of that
but
was
of course.
Eternal?
Are those, okay, yeah, let me ask you this question. Are those castles that you're referring to still standing?
I understand they are, yes.
Okay, then the same thing applies. Just as those castles can be from then now, so can Galileo be from then.
Then Banff? What was that last word?
Then.
Was Kepler, did he become eternal, consciously eternal, like Galileo?
Well, Kepler. we don't like your word, conscious. That's as opposed to unconscious.
Okay.
It doesn't work. So choose it a different
right.
way.
Yeah, Galileo's still here. Is Kepler
yes.
still here?
Yes.
Wow. So these people that are God's icons in the history of physics and astronomy and all that, and scientists admire them, the scientists have no clue that these guys really figured things out and are still here.
And they don't even know that they really figured it out because they're still trying to change and shift the points of connection. They're still, do you see, do the math on this when you're sitting here fighting for electricity and you don't even know what it is. It's astounding.
Right. It's like me not remembering my existence as Ophanel Hobab. Same thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. All right. Now, everybody's eternal. We're not talking about people being eternal. We could say everybody's
good.
Still here.
Good. That's right. But some are still here and have figured it out. Others are still here and have not. Okay? There's some that aren't here because they chose to separate themselves from this land.
And those that separate themselves, they're still here. Oh, no, they're not here. Somehow became
not
here.
That's right.
And
you are correct, Mr. Corso.
So this is why there's such a huge population on the planet, because there are a lot of people here and don't know they're here forever.
And that's the bump. But now that's fixing to get even bigger. Oh, well, it'll get bigger and smaller. Because see what's going to happen? People are going to find out. When they say goodbye, cruel world, goodbye, when they start leaving this world, what they call the rupture or the, rapture. That's right.
Yeah.
All those different things that are supposed to take place and happen. Well, all those things will happen. But that's why it shifts and changes, because it makes it into these other worlds. Or I'm looking for a city where it will never die. They've hid it all through all of it. The fa so la, the tedious and tasteless, the hours, and on and on and on and on and on of all those details that come back to connect you to these other worlds. A new world, heaven and earth.
Yeah. Right. Okay, let me just go on to the next question just a second.
We were not trying to be a cliche artist there. We weren't trying to collecting your question. We're trying to actually connect the dot for you, Bob. If we connect the dot for you, then you can go, oh, so that's why we have to listen to Vestal Goodman and Infinitum till Jesus comes back. Because they were hidden. They hid a lot of things there. And we don't care if you like it or you don't. It doesn't really make any difference. We just want you to have a connection to it, to the now that you kind of know when God's chariot comes, how this all kind of goes down. That's what that's about.
Yes. All right. Let me just get the next question.
Certainly. We're just being clear. We know you're surprised.
What do you want, sir?
Next question is... we did the black wing, which is the 14th ring angle. Then we have here written 1 to 5 done, June 15th. Okay. Now, Ian says, is that a public question? Or this goes with this? No, that goes up. Okay. Ian goes, what are the angels holding back? Bob says the wind. Ian says the four winds. What are they being concealed around in this picture? Ginny says they are concealing chromosome 14. Ian says that's what the four winds are being held back from from flowing. Now we're going to do the Champoured Staircase.
Ezra Pound.
What, he knew about this?
No, but that's the answer to your next question.
Okay, but the question was, I was going to ask you, just see what it said today. The staircase in the Chambord Castle, were they referring to RNA or DNA or something that we're working
to
with?
Ezra Pound's description of what you're calling reality. It's surreal.
Leonardo da Vinci was referring to the coming Ezra Pound.
Yes, or the way Ezra Pound explained reality.
Ah.
You're saying, like you don't know what we mean. That's ridiculous. Go ahead, Bob. That's fine. Talk your way out of this one, Bob. This will be fun.
I said, meaning I did know what you mean because it's...
there you go. That it does explain. Go ahead. You got it. We can't abide Ezra Pound, and if we had our way, like the Pharaoh's vote, we would wipe his name off everything that ever was, ever, if we could. But that's not the case, because you won't allow it. So, therefore, tell us what Ezra says, what Ed says.
Well, in Hugh Kenner's book, The Pound Era, 1971, he talks about Bucky Fuller and a few other thinkers, and he makes a statement which I can't remember, and he said Pound said it first, and then Bucky said it, and someone else said it. So I'm thinking of that way, that Pound
that's
said
right.
it first is what you're referring
that's
to.
That's right. It is. Yeah. That's why we had to give the credit. We damn sure didn't want to, though. Oh,
right. Did McLuhan get the Pound insight?
Of course. Otherwise, he would have never been acknowledged. And if Marshall McLuhan had not acknowledged, and Marshall didn't want to either because he saw him as a charlatan, which we still do, then he would have never even be acknowledged that he was ever. There's nothing he did on his own volition that would have made him noteworthy in history.
Right. He had to put on the others.
He had to put on Marshall.
Right. Okay. I sent out
That was good for you, Bob. That was good for you. You'll use that another day.
Yes. Now, I put out your commentary on McLuhan's Catholicism on the McLuhan Experts list. Did anyone dare listen to Bob's review?
Yes, they did. And, boy, they were sure shell shocked.
Yes, I think they would be.
It made them question. It answers those tiny little niggling effects of, oh, my stars, he really wasn't very Catholic, was he?
Very good. And maybe more will listen of that gang.
Yes, but don't expect them to write canticles of your wayward thoughts.
No. And, okay, so...
And happily so. You can tell them they're ridiculous without... throwing ashes in their face, Bob. It's okay. That's reasonable enough. There's nothing serious going on here. It's okay. Gosh, Marshall certainly didn't take it serious. Why should they?
Okay, so we were mentioning the DNA staircase referred to Ezra Pound? That's what you were saying?
No. Ezra Pound knew about the staircase. The labyrinth, the Escher of the DNA spiral. That's what he was trying to explain. He didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. That's what he was trying to say.
All right, so he trying to explain it with the word vortex. He had
correct.
A description. Yeah. He was using the way he defines vortex is what you're saying. Now, did he visit Chambord Castle?
No.
So did he know of the staircase?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what did the designer of the staircase, were they referring to anything we were making?
Yes, Bob. You set it up that way.
Okay. Right. All right. The next topic is there was a character, I'll bring up the a person. He was known as Chevalier D. Dion. D apostrophe capital E O N. 1728 to 1810. He had a very long name, Charles Genevieve Louis Auguste André Timothy Dion de Beaumont. So, known as Chevalier Dion, he was a French diplomat, spy, Freemason, and soldier who fought in the Seven Years' War. He had androgynous physical characteristics and natural abilities as a mimic, good features for a spy. He could appear publicly as a man and pursue masculine occupations for 49 years. Although during that time, Dion successfully infiltrated the court of Empress Elizabeth of Russia, representing herself as himself as a woman. So for 33 years, from 1777, Dion dressed as a woman, claiming to have been female at birth. Doctors who examined Dion's body after Dion's death discovered that Dion would have actually been designated male at birth. So, the Chevalier Dion, is this something that relates to the word ion or other factors?
No, but it would have to do with the Beauchamp side.
Okay, I'm stopping there. We'll move on to the next topic. Question, which rings in the angel diagram correlate with the ten thunders? What?
Six.
That's the DNA ring.
Of course.
Are the ten thunders of Finnegan's Wake in the DNA?
They're not referring to the DNA. They're talking about the mystery landscape. But then, Bob, you're sitting here, Lord Suffering Catch, you're sitting here now telling us to ask us what Finnegan's Wake says? The only person on the planet that even gives a fuck about that ridiculous, dribbling piece of work, and you don't even want to engage it? No, you ain't getting off that easy. Of course, that's the landscape. The thunders are the landscape of what they're seeing or coming to. It's why they're afraid of the Jabberwocky in the last place.
Is that what James Joyce meant, or is that what you're saying it means?
They're the same.
James Joyce did mean that. Okay.
He certainly did.
And is that what Marsh McLuhan understood when he explained the Ten Thunders? Did he understand that?
No, but he knew that it was not based on anything. It was not based on the front or the back. The picture was clear, and he gave that information. And he told you what he knew about it, but he never knew if it was the end or the beginning. It was, as he would say, in a loop. Do you concur?
No, I don't know really what you said. Let me see. What did you say? McLuhan, did he agree with the Joycean interpretation you just said, or he saw something else in it?
He saw what it landed to. He saw what it went to, not what it was. He
right.
didn't care what he didn't even care what Joyce thought it was. He was too busy trying to tell you something.
Who, Joyce was or McLuhan was trying to tell you something?
McLuhan was busy trying to tell you something. He didn't know himself. But he certainly
right.
knew that Joyce didn't know.
All right. And so McLuhan, when he says the landing of the thunders, that was referring to different media like radio and TV? That's where it landed?
No, it wasn't landing. It was the application. The whole point
yes.
in this pet hole is the application, not the outcome or income or de-go or row the boat or that there's water. You can talk all day about rowing the boat, but the first you have to establish that there's water.
If right, but is he...
Application
wait a minute.
Apply,
I just want to know, we know that Marshall was saying that thunders referred to technological environments. Is that what you're saying? What he mean by
outcomes.
Landing?
Outcomes.
Yes.
Outcomes. They're different than applications. Outcomes are different than applications. That's what we're saying, he said.
And what would be the application meaning for the ten thunders?
Where the application, which media ecological reference attaches where. That's what he was trying to say. This is how it applies.
Yeah, that means which thunder refers to which technology.
Correct. But he wasn't trying to say that. He was saying that it fits the technology because some of those technologies, when Marshall McLuhan was speaking about it, didn't even exist yet. The way we know it now.
So you're saying that Finney's Wake does point to the digital iPhone and our present.
It knows about the cloud and speaks about it.
Now, did Joyce know that or the language knew?
We would like to say yes, but the way he knew it was a bit of absence.
Right. Okay. Is music the first and most ecstatic form of the fallen condition?
Yes. That was easy, wasn't it? Oh, my papa, to me you are so wonderful. Oh, my papa, to me you are so grand. Oh, my papa, how wonderful reality is now to see. So long and now farewell. Come back to it. Come back. Come. Bring it back, Bob. Bring it back. Bring it back, Bob. Bring it back. Bring it back. Come on, Bob. Bring it back. Bring it back, Bob. One more time. Bring it back. You can do it, Bob. Bring it back. Bring it back home, Bob. We're going to sing Oh My Papa some more. My stars. Well, okay. We can do it this way. It's pretty easy. It's not a big thing to us. We can sort of check it out.
Oh, sorry. I thought I've been talking to you. I thought I was on. I didn't know I was on mute. You've been waiting for me to come back.
We've been singing. We've been singing.
Yeah.
Oh, my papa. Too much fun. You can't have dead air, so you'll enjoy that.
Okay.